Ben, how do you decide what to put into an autoresponder series? With that, for the series a subscriber gets, how do you choose which content to add to that series over time? The idea being to expand the series to cover several weeks or even months, or useful content to the new subscriber in addition to the monthly newsletter.
You really got to know your market well before you start selling anything to them. You have to do this with regular sales letters, but it's even more important if you're going to do a long-term autoresponder series, because I've written series that are 100 emails long, and it's not as hard as it sounds if you just know what they want, if you know what's on their mind, if you know what they're thinking about, what they're talking about, what they're scared of, what they want in life, you know, who they're mad at. I mean, all these questions that you should be finding out before you sell to someone anyway. You find those hot buttons, and you just pick one to talk about each day or in each email. I'm a big fan of doing daily emails, so I like to do autoresponders that go out every day. So if you have 100 emails in your autoresponder, you'd have 100 days of emails. Now, not everybody does that. That's just kind of the way I do it. But no matter how many you do, even go through your sales letter, if you have a good sales letter, and just pick out one hot button. And it could be in the first part of the sales letter. Just pick out one hot button and talk about it. It goes back to staying in their world, that Jim Campism. As long as you're in their world, you're safe. You can't bore them. You can't make them not interested as long as you talk about what's interesting to them. So that's really all you do. And then you just want to tie it into a call to action in each email. You want to put something in there that gets them back to that sales letter, and they'll be much more likely to buy from you.
For a very long time, I had a series of probably 130 emails. So when someone got on my list, you know, over, I think it probably took about maybe 8 or 9 months to get through all of them. I didn't do it every day. On my autoresponder follow-up, I had it maybe every 4 days, every 5 days, every 6 days. And then for the last 14 or 15 months, I've been doing a daily email. And that's how I've done it in the past. So anyone who's come onto my list is going to hear from me automatically through my autoresponder series, just introducing them to new interviews or new ideas or maybe a little bit of teaching or what have you. And then I'm doing my daily emails on top of that. But I'm going to try something new. I stopped or put a hold on the autoresponder series, and I'm just now doing my daily email. Have you played around with that, or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, if you have things set up right and you know your market really well, and you can do these two emails a day. I've done that before, where maybe one email in the morning is more content driven. It's not really a strong sales pitch or anything, or maybe you're just giving something away. And then in the afternoon, you give them just a straight sales pitch or something. There are people who have done that. I think Matt Fury actually was doing that for a long time. He called it his afternoon delight email. That would be the sales pitch one. And it's like you've kind of earned the right to send them a sales pitch because earlier in the day you gave them some content. I have not actually done that. I just have a different take on it than he does with that. But I don't think there is a right or wrong way to do it. It's whatever works for your list. And some markets are more rabid and more hungry than others. And some you kind of have to work on a little bit more to get to that point where they want to buy something. It always comes back to your market.
Some people may not want to do the daily email. They find that hard, but they may have a burst of energy. They can put together 10 or 20 of them, set them up in the autoresponder, and just set it and forget it.
You know what I've done before, and I really think this simplifies things. We talked about creating sublists before. So, for example, if you have a list and you sell to people who own cats or something, right? They're cat owners. But then you have sublists of people who are just interested in a certain breed of cat, like Siamese cat owners. Or you have another sublist who are just interested in teach your cat to do tricks or something. So each of those is a sublist. They're all on your main list, but they've kind of segmented themselves into these little sublists. Well, every email you write, if you're doing a daily email or a frequent email to your main list that is about a specific topic, you can then take that daily email and put it in the autoresponder under its appropriate list. So all the emails you write on cat tricks, you can put in that autoresponder. You've already written it. Now just put it in the autoresponder and just keep working for you forever that way.
Ben, should I always split test?
If you ask 10 different people, you'll get 10 different answers to that. Should you always split test? I don't personally see the point of always split testing. People have to understand the point of split testing is to test one idea against another. So if you're sending a daily email out, unless it's like a sale or, you know, you're doing some kind of push to sell something, is it worth your time to set up a test to see which subject line outpulls the other? Spend the morning doing that and then send to the rest of your list with the winner? It might be. I mean, if you have a big list and, you know your numbers, that very well could be worth it. for someone like myself, I have a relatively small list. A split test would do me no good right now because I just don't think I'd even have much of a control to work with. So I kind of go the opposite way. I just write something, get it out, and then I move on to whatever else I got to do. So it always comes down to the way you're setting your business up. If I had a big list of like 100,000 people, and I don't, but maybe I will by the end of this year, who knows, I would probably split test every email in the morning. If I didn't have client work and all this other stuff to do, and if it was my main income source, I would probably spend time split testing every email to get the most sales just because it would be worth it. If I have a list of 2,000 people, you're never going to get a statistically relevant response either way, so it doesn't matter. You might as well get it in there and push send, and, you know, if you get sales, great. If you don't, well, that's great, too. And by the way, I'm going to say something. People will say, well, why would you reuse an email that didn't get any sales? The reason you should reuse an email, like in an autoresponder that didn't get any sales, is because maybe it'll get sales again. I've had many emails where I send it to my main list and got zero sales, put it in an autoresponder, and it got sales. Or maybe I reused it again to my main list, and the next time it did get sales. Email is not like a static sales letter, which just sits up there and everybody sees it every day. It taps into a specific emotion or a thought or something that's going on right now in the culture or in their lives. I mean, you just never know. So I just wanted to add that in there, too.
And it's the concept of the moving parade. Your emails may have the same headline and say the same thing, but when you send it out, your list is always in movement. They may catch your email at a time that's convenient, where they're not distracted, or they may be more receptive, or maybe something happened in their life or their day that makes them, you know, read it this time, where before they couldn't. So you just never know. You know, a lot of it has to do with the right timing. That's why I think email marketing is so powerful. First of all, your whole list isn't going to open it up when you send it out. Only a small percentage will open it up. But every time you send it out, it can be the same email. You're going to get a different piece of the pizza opening that email, and you'll get sales. And I have tested this with my $20 offer.
People got to look at it as an audience. If you're doing it right, they're tuning into your show. For example, if you're a fan of a talk radio host, you may not make the show every day. Now, you listen to it 2-3 times a week, but you don't listen to it 5 times a week for whatever reason. The same with email. People just might miss your email the first time. It's nothing personal. I mean, people are busy. So why not reuse it and see if it works again?
If an email campaign isn't generating sales, but it isn't triggering unsubscribes either, what should I try adjusting?
That sounds to me like nobody's getting your email. If you're not getting either sales or unsubscribes, I find that kind of a strange situation because I've never actually seen that happen before. You should at least be getting unsubscribes if for no other reason that you'll eventually get email bounce back. And then most autoresponders will just automatically unsubscribe them after so many attempts. So sign up for like 4 or 5 free email accounts and add yourself to a list and see if you're even getting delivered.
Yeah, and depends how many times you've sent it and what your offer is. If it's a price thing, if you've got a good offer, but maybe the price is too high, test one with a lower price. You know, see if you can get some kind of movement. One thing I do in a lot of my emails, even when I'm selling something, is I'll have a call to action at the end of the email. I may not send them to a link. I may do a sales piece or a sales email that is selling something, but not have a link on purpose in the email and say, if you want more information on this, reply to this email and in all caps, type in more information, and then I'll send you the link. That way I kind of get a temperature, is my list alive and are they reading through to the end of the email?
Yeah, that's a good idea. If I had time to do that kind of stuff, I would definitely do more things like that where you get some kind of direct response from people back as they write you an email. And that'll tell you right there who's paying attention.
Yeah, and another thing, we were talking, Ben, I think, about Google's email, how depending on how frequently you email someone from a Gmail account, for example, maybe the big providers, it'll categorize your email, not necessarily in the order that they're received. But, you know, if you're responding to an email, let's say you're on Gmail and you get my email and you're at the beginning of an autoresponder campaign and I ask you for a call to action and you reply to that email and email me directly, that's going to put my email address in a safer spot on your Gmail account compared to you never responding, just reading my emails and going to a link.
That's very interesting. I actually didn't realize that. That's extremely good information.
Check that out, because these email services are getting smarter and smarter, and they're trying to solve problems with cluttered email.
You know, there's only one problem I could see with that, and it may not even be a problem. With autoresponder companies, it's not your email address and your IP address and all that they're seeing. it's the autoresponders. I don't know how that works.
That is interesting. Well, when you reply...
They're replying to Michael at Michael's.
That's true. So I think that's what you want. I don't know. You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. All right, let's move into this next section, questions about email frequency or day of the week. Then with only a small list, I need to be careful about the frequency. What frequency do you suggest that I email?
I understand why people get kind of paranoid. They have a small list and they don't want any unsubscribes, but I really think that's the wrong way to look at it. I'm going to give you a real-life example. I've recently started going after another niche, and I'm building an email list, and it's slowly building up. I probably get 2 or 3 opt-ins a day, maybe. So far, as of today, I have 1 buyer. So I've had, like, I don't know, 50 or 60 opt-ins, and I've got my first buyer just last weekend. Or no, actually, I only have about 15 opt-ins. I think I've had, like, 70 visits to the site, so actually, it's even smaller than that. So I have, like, 15 or 16 opt-in people. I've had 1 sale. That person who made the sale is getting a daily email from me to upsell them the next thing. And it's 1 person. And if I lose them, so be it. Emailing them and not staying in contact with them to me is actually going to do you more harm than just contacting them once a week or once every 2 weeks. Some people will aggressively disagree with me on that. And I guess you could spend a lot of time testing this and everything. But again, when you have a small list, your tests are pretty much irrelevant anyway, statistically. So I guess until I get a bigger list, I'll just keep doing that. But, of course, if you have a small list, that's the only time you'd ask this question anyway. So my opinion is just keep emailing them as often as you can, doing it the right way, as we've been talking about. Don't just send them crap or constant sales pitches or boring them with a bunch of content they've already seen. You got to be engaging and interesting and be a highlight of their day, and then just let the chips fall wherever they may after that. But I think you should still go after it. If you have 10 people on your list, I think you should email them, you know, every day or 5 days a week. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I talked about this like in the first section. You've got to get over the fear or what are they going to think. You're going to be doing something drastically different that your people on your list have never seen. You're going to get noticed and you're going to get some attention, and some of it may be negative. But after a while, they're going to forget the old way you used to do it. And if you're doing it right, they're going to look forward to the new way. You just never know what's going to happen. Being in front of your list more frequent, it'll open up doors. And I'll give you a perfect example. I was doing a daily email last year, and I did this one email that opened up a great door. And I told you about this, Ben. It was this email called the Pistol Shrimp. That was the subject of it. It had to do with this amazing little shrimp creature in the bottom of the ocean, and how when it snapped its claw, it created the same power of a little atomic explosion. And then I tied that in with the power of your voice doing audio interviews. And I sent that out, and I got a reply from Drayton Bird. And it said, "Who writes your email copy?" Very well-known advertising man out of the UK, and David Ogilvy had claimed that he knew more about advertising than anyone in the world. So I emailed him back, and I said, "I do." And that opened up the door for a dialogue between us. And we email each other pretty regularly, maybe once a month. I'll comment on his stuff. He'll comment on emails that he likes of mine. I was able to get an interview with him. I did a wonderful 2-part interview with him that I have on my site. He's endorsed me through an email broadcast to his list. He's put me up on his blog, and he's given me a wonderful testimonial that I can use to promote myself in my site. And that all became possible because I made a decision to do daily emails. And if I didn't do the daily emails, there's a good chance he would have never seen it. I would have never done it. He would have never emailed back, and none of that would happen. And I can probably think back, and there's probably 20 other instances where this has occurred. A lot of my interviews occurred from doing initial emails. It's a door opener for new opportunities, and I'm sure you've got stories like that as well.
Oh, man, I've gotten a ton of them. People I never would have met otherwise, just because I'm doing these emails in a fun, interesting way. And people got to understand, when you start doing emails the way we're talking about, you're not just the regular, ordinary, run-of-the-mill marketer. All of a sudden, you're somebody people want to listen to. You're not imposing on people by emailing them every day. Kind of a highlight of their day. I mean, in not every case, but in a lot of people's cases, they want to hear from you. And you're actually doing them a disservice and kind of letting them down if they don't hear from you. Attach some value to yourself, you know, and what you're doing, because you're doing good out there. If you're out there helping people and trying to show people how to solve their problems, I mean, you're doing good. Nothing to hide. Don't hold back.
For more interviews like this, go to HardToFindSeminars.com. Yeah, be proud of what you do. You know, stand behind your product. Don't be ashamed of it. If you're really proud of it and you're selling a good service or a good product, that enthusiasm, that's contagious, and that just shows you stand behind what you're offering and what you're selling, and that'll translate to your readers, and you'll get more sales. You'll get more of what you want. Ben, how can one determine the best time and day to send emails for the best response?
Well, the first thing you don't want to do, I say this as a warning to everybody, is you don't want to sit there on all the internet guru lists and they'll tell you sometimes what time is the best time to send it out. You don't want to follow that necessarily without testing it yourself because, for example, there was a time when people were saying 5 a.m. Eastern time is the best time. That's when you're going to get the best response. This was a few years ago. Everybody was saying that 5 a.m. It was just parroted around. Nobody actually tested it. I don't know which guru said it, but somebody said it and that was it. Well, guess what happens? All of a sudden, everybody's getting emails at 5 a.m. Does that help your chances or hurt your chances of getting your email open? So the point is there a best time? You could test this. I just don't spend time testing all this stuff. Again, if I had a bigger list, and maybe in the future I will, I would probably test this because I think it would make a difference. I mean, you just never know. If you've got a lot of customers in certain countries and other countries, and it could make a big difference, and you'll never know unless you test it. But even then, if you're going to test it, keep testing it ongoing because that's something that could change on a dime. Because all of a sudden, if you have competitors who are on your list as a marketing spy, they may start doing exactly what you're doing and diluting the effect of whatever they're saying you do. So I don't personally get all caught up in it right now, but I could see why somebody might. If you're doing a huge list and you've got a really good back end in place and every sale can really make a difference, I mean, test it. I mean, that's really the only way to find out.
Yeah, I would say it depends what you're doing. If you're just doing an email series and you're not doing any kind of hard selling or promotion for a product, I think it doesn't really matter. I do think you shouldn't be sending your emails out the exact same time. There's a very well-known marketer, and I've been on his list for years, and he sends his email out every Sunday evening. And at the time I get it every Sunday evening, I never really have time to read it. And so his whole list has been getting that email every Sunday evening. It's his weekly email. And I think that's a mistake. I think he should change it up. I think you should change up the time you send your daily emails because, again, your list, it's a moving parade, but mix it up, and you're going to hit parts of your list at different times where they may be more receptive. One thing I wouldn't do is if I'm going to be selling something through an email promotion, and let's say my list is all within the United States, I wouldn't send that email out at 3 in the morning. I want it to go to where there's as many eyeballs in front of the computer or in front of their phones where they get it and they can open it and they can read it. If everyone's sleeping, then I've got to wait till in the morning when they download all their emails and 20 or 30 emails come down and mine's just in the list of 20 or 30 ones. I don't want to be there in the morning. I want to get my offer or my email in front of them where there's not a pile of emails waiting to be opened before the first thing in the morning. So that's something to think about as well. And if you have an autoresponder that allows you to segment your list, a lot of the autoresponders know exactly where the email servers are. And you can create segments of your list. You can have a list for different time zones and then email those different sections of your list appropriately. So there's a lot you can do in segmentation with a good autoresponder series. But certainly I think a variety is the best way to go. Ben, what should new marketers expect for open rates and click-through rates for various types of audiences? Hot leads, previous clients, cold leads, those who have opted in because of an offer, etc.
There's absolutely no answer to this question. That's going to apply to everybody all the time. There's so many factors outside of my control or your control or anyone else's control that can affect these things. There is no answer to that. All you can do is put your emails out there, see what the response is, and if you want a better response, test something against it. There is no magic response. I mean, this is one reason I rail against everyone wanting to know everybody's conversion rates. It doesn't matter what someone else's conversion rate is. They may not even be going aggressively for a sale. For example, they may be trying to get people to a blog post every day so that they'll comment on a blog post and then maybe get better search engine rankings. I mean, these are things that I don't do, but I know people who do that, and there's no right or wrong answer to any of this stuff. So there's no answer to that. You could do phenomenally well. You could do 1% open rates. And something else about all these conversion rates and open rates, one time I went through this Paul Hartunian course on how to get publicity, and he's a big fan of using facts, and he put it this way. He goes, don't worry about your conversion rates. It doesn't matter. What were your overall profits? Would you rather get 10% of people to open your email and make $100? Or would you rather get 5% of people opening your email and making $500? I mean, it really doesn't matter at the end. It's like, what were your profits? So I think people should just focus more on that. I'm not saying there's no value to looking at all these open rates and click-throughs and all that. You can get some good intel from that, but at the end of the day, what's putting food on your table, you know, it's sales.
Right. At least get a control, you know. If you have a control and you know you're promoting something and you know what your open rates are and you're making X amount of dollars, so you have that control, then your ongoing email campaigns, you can compare to what your control is doing and at least have a gauge. It depends on what you're doing, so I agree. Hi, it's Michael Senoff, and if you like what you've been listening to in this 10-part series with Ben Settle on email, I want to introduce an incredibly advanced system on selling that can be used in your one-to-one phone call conversations, in all of your email correspondence, and or integrated into your written sales letters. Go to www.hardtofindseminars.com/HHSOE.htm. Or you could just go to Google and search these words, the highest paid salesman on earth, and you'll find a link to an incredible product that will only enhance all your selling efforts, whether it's one-to-one phone conversations, emails, or in your sales letters. Check it out at hardtofindseminars.com/HPSOE.htm. That's the end of part 4. Please continue to part 5.